But help me understand that, and kind of maybe if you want to make a parallel comparison to what you're saying. Drew Brees came here in 2006, but he had been, right? He'd won with the Chargers. He'd been in the playoffs. Sports Hangover continues next with Hour 2 on ESPN New Orleans.
Bundling home and car insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? Look for the signs. Do they have a home and or car? Are they saving lots of money? Do they seem unusually happy? Do they have a child named GEICO?
GEICO! Dinner time!
Have they recently purchased a drone? That's unrelated to the GEICO thing, I'd just really like to try one. But if you notice these other things, you may want to ask them how easy it was to bundle with GEICO. Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
I always worry about Alex Smith moving forward. He wants to play. I wish him the damn best of luck to play. I would love to see him maybe be a backup quarterback down, maybe in Jacksonville, work with a guy like Trevor Lawrence, transition that into a coach. But every time he steps on the field, I'm worried like hell for him, because I think it's much more important for Alex Smith to think about running with his kids more so than running on a football field.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. Noah, still way to chime into the conversation. Hour two, we'll touch on some of the top lists that Pro Football Focus put in. Jordan, as you know, this is the time of year where there's lists. List here, list there, list everywhere. The Euro Cup going on. Maddie, you happy?
That I am. Go Brits. 2-0.
2-0 over Germany there. Jordan, we touched on a couple of different topics. Already in hour number one, Brody Miller, we spoke about some of the things that stood out with Jay Johnson, the new head coach of your LSU Fighting Tigers. This is what he had to say, the opening statement.
I don't think I can do it as well as Coach O, but go Tigers. Let's go. Start this thing off right. That was the only thing that we need to say to start this thing off. I'm honored to be here. I'm incredibly humbled to be here. And when I think about the 44 years of my entire life, I really believe every day has led me to this podium right now, to this program, and it's beyond a dream come true. I didn't come here for any other reason, because this doesn't come along but one time in your life. And I view this opportunity to be the head baseball coach at LSU as the opportunity of my lifetime. Getting started, gratitude is a big thing to me. You don't get to a moment like this without the help of really, really influential and important people. So, President Galligan, I haven't got a chance to meet you yet until we shook hands right there, but I'm very honored to meet you. I'm honored to have this opportunity that you ultimately signed off on with the advisement of Scott and the athletic department and these two great Hall of Fame coaches. So thank you. Scott, Stephanie, Dan, Verge, thank you. I'm honored to be here, and I really, really respect and appreciate how you guys approached me through this entire time. And there's nothing I want to do more than to give you exactly what you want to see just right over there on that field. And I'm going to do everything in my power to do that, to make you guys, the state of Louisiana, LSU, the Baton Rouge community, incredibly proud. That is my mission, and that's what we have started working on a couple days ago.
Now, again, as you know, Arizona went to Omaha this past series. Or still going on, obviously. But why now? Why leave the Wildcats?
So I've gotten a lot of questions about why here and why now. I think I just explained that relative to the coaches. But Ben McDonald, Todd Walker, Eddie Furness, Warren Morris, Coach Berkman's guys. You literally couldn't turn on the TV in the 90s and not see that purple jersey running around Omaha. I remember exactly where I was in 1996 when Warren Morris hit the walk-off home run. I was a very average junior college second baseman, and I remember thinking, man, I really wish I was Warren Morris at that time. I remember exactly the walk-off win against Stanford in 2000 to win the national championship and being down in the ninth inning and your guys continuing to believe, continuing to push everything you want as a coach, your players rising to the occasion at the very at the most important time in the game. Again, a reflection of your leadership. And then when I think about Coach Maneri, Ryan Terrio, DJ LeMahieu, Anthony Renato, Alex Bregman, the list goes on and on. And I really don't want to leave anybody out. But think about those names and the future players that are going to come to LSU. You can't have better examples of what you want to achieve someday. Everything is possible here. When you talk about Omaha, when you talk about national championships, when you talk about training to become a major league player someday. And the winning and the championships are great, and that's what we're here for. That only happens through elite development. Again, a testament to these two men. And that's exactly what we're going to do here, is we're going to develop players. And I'm excited to do that. We've started that process, being on the phone with them, an initial contact, getting to know guys, diving into that from the very first day of school. What they're doing right now in summer ball is all going to be part of the journey to lead them to being the very best player that they can be.
Yeah, I think key is development. An easy question, but needing, I guess, a detailed answer. Coach, how are you going to win? How is LSU going to take to the field and try to bring home W's?
I get asked all the time, how are you going to do it? Okay, it's LSU, okay? Expectations, all of those types of things. That's why I came here. You stare challenges in the face, and you go do it. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to recruit. What does that mean? Okay, we're going to sell a vision of the elite college baseball program in the country where anything is possible. You get a chance to be the next Warren Morris at the plate in the ninth inning of the College World Series and come through. You get a chance to be the next Alex Bregman. Everything is possible here. Not easy. Every day will matter in terms of building you to that point in time. And at that point in time, you'll be ready when that is what's called for. What does that look like? That looks like a player of elite talent, elite character, with a work ethic unknown to mankind, because that's what's going to be required to be successful in our program. Development. There's no better place. And I walked in the room over here the other day with looking at all the major league jerseys. Every player out there that's a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old player that's looking at the elite programs across the SEC, across the country, wants to be a major league player. If you are listening right now, there will be no better place for you to develop to achieve your dream of being a major league player someday. With that being said, you'll be required to be an elite teammate, an elite person. And combining those things together, there's no limit to what you can accomplish. Recruit, develop, win. And I know what that means to you. It means the same thing to me. But it means something else. What is important now We can't go to Omaha today, but our players out in summer baseball can be doing something that can move us in that direction. Our players that are in the weight room or summer school can be doing something today that is moving us in that direction. When we get to September 1st and we're on the field and four-on-ones or skill work, we're going to be doing something to move us in that direction. And where we're at that day is the most important day. You stack up a lot of those days, and then you can start talking about Omaha, Nebraska, and national championships. But you have to earn the right to do that. And every day we're going to be building this program to do that by focusing on what is exactly in front of us at that point in time. And then you have to repeat it. LSU is not going to win championships because of things that happened in the past. LSU is going to win championships because of the decisions everybody involved in the program, our administration, our coaching staff, our players, our support staff, our fans, are all united, all aligned, doing the things that they need to do to ensure that happens. So recruit, develop, win, what's important now, and then we constantly have to be repeating that process. What is my goal? My goal is when you look out on that field at Alex Box Stadium, there's a brand of baseball that everybody in this state, in this community, associated with this university, is incredibly proud of. You know what that looks like. You've seen it. No program in college baseball has seen it on a more consistent basis than LSU. And all I want to do is pour my life into continuing that. So without anything else, I couldn't be more excited to be here. Thank you, Scott, again for the opportunity. And this state, this university, is going to get everything that I got. And the same thing out of our players, and go Tigers.
That's a very small sample of Jordan, about 45 minutes,
yes.
What he spoke yesterday. A Q&A session with Chris Blair. Go on the website. You can see it in entirety and everything. But Maddie and Jordan, again, it's a small sample. I liked what I heard, simply probably because these are the things that I thought LSU should sort of look at in terms of that. So you know his principles there: recruit, develop, win,
repeat.
What's important now,
yes.
And then repeat. And look, this is just me. I love hearing you're not going to win national championships because of the past. It's moving forward in what you do today, and everybody's got to be together. And I know it sounds like words, but you know,
it's establishing an identity and like a culture that he probably hopes to like instill moving forward. Like, I think that every opportunity like this is a great one for a clean slate.
Right.
And like setting that tone off the bat is something that, like you said, it is just words, but you could also say less good words.
But I've always felt, Jordan, that's sort of been, I would say, my issue. But it's like, and I hear the way people speak of, well, we deserve to win a national team. We should be in Omaha.
And he realized that, and he kind of touched on that because he knew what he was getting himself into.
But my point is, I think the point you're about to make is that that's great that you think that, but I'm talking about the player. What have you done? What are you doing? I like hearing that just now. What are you doing today in summer ball? What are you doing in the weight room? What are you doing to help us
moving forward?
Do that. I mean, it's great that you can sit there. Let the people tailgating feel like they deserve to be in Omaha and making your plans. But here's the realization of it. As I mentioned, Florida, Arkansas, Vandy, Mississippi. There's a lot of teams in your conference that also have nice buildings, that also have the support of their university, that
great recruiting,
that have players, good players. So you have to do the little, you can't just walk out there and just say, I'm a Tiger.
I expect to be in Omaha this year.
You have to go earn it, because that's the point that I was making in the opening segment back in hour one, is that if I was born in the year 2000 or in 2003, when Omaha went to best of three now, would you consider this program the unequal, like right now, like Bama? Like I told you this already. Arch Manning, what are you doing? Simple. Bama,
no,
I'm going to Clemson
because I
play one game a year,
sport.
Or Ohio State. But what I'm saying
those
three schools, though, Jordan, might be different than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. You can give me all of this tradition that everybody else has had in the past. I get it. Texas, long storied tradition of good football, but they're not where they are right now. the coaches that are going in now have to reestablish that, have to redo that, you know? And that's why I wanted to hear that, because I think that's what's key. It's very, you can say, bring in Corbin. He just lives at the World Series. Yeah. Andrew said it yesterday. It took him 8 years, right? It took him 8 years to get to this point. I know some people don't want to hear it. LSU baseball is not there to an extent. Every team's going to have top players. It's how you do the little things, Jordan. It's good base running, fundamental work in the field. These are problems that plagued LSU.
Errors.
Yes. I mean, it's the little things. Everyone's going to have talent on these teams in the SEC. It's the same thing with the NBA. I mean, look, we can joke, and Maddie brings it up all the time when it comes to the Pelicans. 14, Jordan has the list that the graph put up right there. It's right there on the wall.
It's not a joke.
There it is. But that's the difference. Drew Brees has said it there as well. There's a fine line between winning and losing in the NFL. It's the team that doesn't commit the penalty, doesn't get a holding call on first and goal at the 2 yard line when you're down 5 to score a touchdown and settle for 3. But that's the difference. But everyone's going to have an ace on Friday. Everyone's going to have a home run hitter. You're dealing great. Do you have 4 or 5 guys that are just, man, that guy just doesn't strike out? Some dude that comes out the bullpen that ain't your weekend starter, but when he comes in, you can depend. He ain't going to walk somebody or plunk somebody. He's going to come out and get an out. I mean, those are all, that goes to development, to not forgetting about those players. This state has a tremendous amount of players. Was that LaMelo and Lonzo Ball in a car commercial?
I told you that last week.
Oh, my
God. Now they're
goodness.
Doing, they're in the car.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Is it true? All alone without you.
Since 1948, that's 73 years, Alario Brothers has been in the commercial shrimping and fishing supply business. They carry a large selection of stainless steel shafts up to 2.5 inches, but they can also order larger if you like. They also stock 2, 3, and 4 blade propellers up to 40 inches, a large selection of shaft couplings, single V-struts, and stainless steel rudders. Now listen to this, Alario Brothers is now stocking rudder blades and rudder shafts so you can make your own rudder. Now carrying stainless steel plate pieces so you can make your own V-strut. A huge selection of stainless steel stern tubes, rudder and shaft shoes, fiberglass tubes, rudder ports, packing boxes, and dripless shaft seals. Stocking tiller arms and rubber cutlass bearings along with a big line of motor mounts. Call Alario Brothers to get your TEDs today. Visit Alario Brothers before the season. That's Alario Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego. Visit their website at alariobros.com. Shrimp boats is
a-coming. Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever, between Home and Thibodeau, or online at southerntrailerworks.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. 800-998-1003. No guests this hour. We're going to throw in a couple of different topics. Feel free to chime into any of them by dialing 800-998-1003. You can also, Jordan, answer a pair of, or at least a question of the day for sure. What you got?
Saints fans, what wide receiver needs to have a standout season? We have a few responses over on Twitter. Mark says Thomas and a veteran receiver currently not on the roster. No confidence in Smith. And I want to, he said Holloway. I think he meant Callaway.
How was the question phrased again?
Saints fans,
standout season. Okay.
Yeah, have a standout season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Thomas, like, I feel like Thomas is almost like an afterthought in that, like,
yeah,
like, obviously kind of thing, unless he, knock on wood, hurts himself again. But to me, this is, like, that they said no confidence in Traquan Smith, but, like, this is really, to me, the make or break it year for this guy. He is, like, a record book savant in terms of, like, always catching the important passes, but it's like he shows up in big moments, but then doesn't show up in big moments. But he's on year four now. I know it's typically like a year one, year three thing, but I feel like this is the moment where, like, are you going to be kind of the Ted Ginn Jr. on the end of your career, not really contributing anything, or are you going to actually kind of break out and be a receiving threat that can spread the field opposite Michael Thomas? They just need someone that actually poses a legitimate threat opposite Thomas. Otherwise, Thomas also becomes shut down.
So over the next couple of weeks, as we get close for training camp, again, it's 5 weeks. Within 5 weeks, it will be training camp week, and we'll actually be covering what we see on the field and talking about legitimately what this team is going to be like. In the meantime, once, you know, when on Tuesdays when you come in, Maddie, we'll take a position group and kind of look at it. So you kind of start it right there already, but your overall thoughts on this group, because I'm just telling you what it is going into it, right, in terms that for the last couple of years, you were trying to find what you just said, that opposite receiver to Michael Thomas. You did Emmanuel Sanders, the cap and COVID hit. Yeah, to let him go. Traquan Smith was drafted to take the top off the defense. He was the deep threat at UCF. Well, he hasn't been that. He has been used differently. Can he be that? Marquez Callaway, nice find. Had to, because of injury, jump in last year. I like what my eyes see. He looks the part. He's unproven. It's nice that you have some speed with some other guys and things of that nature. And I get all of that. But, you know, Deontay Harris, a lot of people keep saying he can do that. We've seen him working out with Jameis Winston. Does his size keep him from being healthy? Do you risk him getting hurt catching passes and losing him as a kick returner? But that's your receiving core right now, right? I know they drafted.
You're missing one.
Kwon Baker. Who am I missing?
Kwon Baker.
Right. Well, but again, he literally hasn't had a practice with this team.
I know.
So my simple overview, and you can expand on it, is it's a very unproven
yep.
group.
Well, the thing is that these are, to me, like Drew's receivers, and Drew is the kind of player that can elevate a guy off the practice squad.
Bingo.
And my thing is, we were at kind of a critical point in the juncture with players like Marquez Callaway, Juwan Johnson, Lil Jordan Humphrey. Maybe one more year with Drew Brees, they could have actually kind of gotten something together. And quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me, like, hearing that, like, Drew is popping into the practice facility every so often. Like, can he throw to these receivers for a little while and get them up to speed on the routes? Because that's the thing for me is, like, Jameis, if he ends up winning, and Taysom, both of them, you know, aren't the most accurate, and Drew Brees is the most accurate of all time. And so it really, actually, to me, is kind of more on the receivers this year than the quarterback, almost, because they really have to kind of help bridge this gap.
You bring up the word accuracy, and Jordan, before I get your thoughts, it's the one thing that actually stood out. Look, we can have fun with the video that we saw from last week in Miami, well, of him working out and all that.
Couple of them, but.
Well, again, to the accuracy part of that, the one thing that I did like that you saw, and I'm not saying that Taysom isn't doing it, I'm not saying that, but one of the things that you always saw Drew do during practice is specifically go and show you where he wanted you to go, how to make the move, and where he was going to place the ball. And when they were practicing the back shoulder throw on the goal line, you see Jameis explaining it to Traquan, how to do it, and then that you see the video of him throwing it to that back shoulder to the left of the left hash mark and doing that. Again, it's those little things that I think Taysom needs to learn, and you only learn through experience, right? Of going, being in that situation, goal to goal, the quick out, where am I throwing it? And to the point of what Jameis said when they had availability a couple weeks ago of saying, you get to learn doing these workouts how a guy likes it, where he wants it, and things of that nature. So I liked in that video, you see him hands-on with a receiver, showing him how to run a route, because that's what I saw Drew do. And I'm just going by that.
Right. Yeah, Matt, I wanted to ask Matty this, and Gus, I want to get your opinion as well. Just your take on Deontay Harrison. I know he's been with Drew Brees the past couple of years, and so he hasn't really been able to, you know, be exposed to the best of his ability. But I almost feel like he can almost be like a Tyreek Hill in a sense if you kind of just let him go loose, let him go full throttle up the field and give him the football, and he could do the work right from there.
I'm higher on Deontay Harris than I think a lot of people are. I know the Bruce Arians like comment about Deontay Harris kind of got like made fun of, but absolutely. I mean, I think he showed that in the Vikings game. When Taysom kind of threw him a bomb out of nowhere, mm-hmm. It's like, oh wow, this guy's actually
right.
Kind of reminds me too of like the Lance Moore, Brandon Cooks kind of archetype where they're just taking the Z down the field. And I know that Jameis Winston told Tre'Quan Smith to not stop running, and he's going to throw it 60 to 70 yards. But
60
to me,
70 yards, baby.
That person is Deontay Harris because he has such speed. But no. It is, yeah, the only issue is the longevity concern and the loss of that on special teams. But to me, I know that, like, you know, the Saints love special teams, and it is extremely important and mm-hmm. can often be the difference maker. But more than other years, if Deontay Harris is more of an asset as a receiver than he is as a punt returner, then you have to kind of lose that to me. But
yeah, because I feel like he could get you yards after the catch.
Yes.
Because I feel like that, Gus, we talk about it all the time. Michael Thomas, I mean, he comes up big in situations, but after he catches the football, it doesn't seem like he can make those big types of plays to where he can break free.
That's basically our overview, right? 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in on this. Let's specifically kind of touch on some of these receivers here as well. And you brought up Michael Thomas. Matty, the guy set NFL records. We all know he was injured last year. With Taysom Bleeping Hill, he caught double-digit passes in one game when apparently he was still hurt and he got back on IR. So that was interesting to me because it showed me that because there was always a fear, well, maybe he's only this because of Drew. If you can catch 11 catches with Taysom, then I got no fear that it can be your thing. What do you want to see from Michael Thomas, a guy that's broke records, caught double-digit passes with a guy that just started in the NFL? But what do you think he needs to take his game to the next level that's important this year for the team?
Leadership. I think he needs to take control of the receiving corp. I think that he has everything there, and his best asset to me came when Teddy Bridgewater stepped in, came when Taysom Hill stepped in. He was always the number one guy. He was always the first look. He was always there. He knows the routes. He knows exactly where to go, and he almost seemed to know where to go if the ball wasn't going to be thrown the way that Drew would throw it. I think the reason that him and Drew got along so well is because, like, he is a, like, science, like, you know, just, like, in terms of route running and accuracy, like, he is just very impeccable at it, and that's where you saw the ankle issue be a huge issue last year. But I think that someone needs to kind of corral this receiving group and step up as a leader. And we keep talking about leaders on the Saints, like when now that Drew is gone and who's going to kind of step up for that. But I think that the receiving group is one of the most critical groups of importance. And I think that it's very important for them to have their kind of subtype leader. And I think if Michael Thomas wants to kind of take this, you know, over the edge this year, that's to me the intangible that he needs to.
So you think there's a difference between, because it goes to your question as well, Gus. I mean, you think there's a difference between an offensive leader and just a wide receiver position leader in itself? Because I feel like they could kind of go hand in hand. Because in my opinion, right now, I think Alvin Kamara is your leader on the offensive side.
I think he's your best player on the team.
Yes.
And he's your number one leader. I know Brian, listening right now, would throw in Cam Jordan, and he absolutely is.
DeMario Davis.
Well, okay. Well, those guys here as well. But
just from what I saw last year, I mean.
But what I'm saying is,
as well,
I don't know if it's correct or sometimes we associate the best player with a guy that a lot of people sort of look to and stuff. And DeMario is respect and stuff, but I think Alvin will be here longer. But I did like to look. You can't go wrong with any of those three guys having the voices. But I think
DeMario has the pregame chants down. But I think that having a leader on both sides of the ball is probably the best way to go about it because there is no one that can replace Drew Brees just like that.
And to your point, Cam Jordan literally has, you know, Marcus Davenport over all the time. Now Peyton Buckshot Turner, to where his daughter's confusing the two. He's completely, I mean, gone above and beyond.
Yeah.
And he's bringing players to his house to try to make it a closer-knit group. And let's just be honest, this past season, call it injury, call it whatever, Michael Thomas got into fisticuffs with CeeDee Deuce.
Yeah, well, so did the NFL, to be fair.
But I hear you. But my point is, Michael Thomas got suspended.
Yeah.
However you want to call it. I mean, you could say,
well, that's why,
you know, Sean didn't want to use the wording and all that, but he didn't play a game because of his attitude and because of his behavior.
And that's why I think leadership is the paramount trait that he needs to show this year, more than skills, because I think he's more than proved that.
I would agree with you on that. Can Michael Thomas be more of a Cam Jordan and Alvin Kamara, where Alvin is on the sideline, CeeDee Deuce is injured, he goes and grabs him and brings him off the field?
Well, he also told him to get his bleep up. We got a game to finish.
But that's my point.
I agree with you.
I don't know if that's the guy.
I don't think he's the guy.
Wide receivers, though, maybe. It's like, take an inch.
It's interesting because we have sound, and I'll play it maybe when we come back, of Marquez Callaway or Tre'Quan Smith saying that it was Alvin Kamara going to him and getting him ready to play on games that he needed to play and step up. We'll be back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Do you suffer from lower back pain, knee pain, foot pain, or fallen arches? Do you? If yes, just stop and write this magic word, G-Defy, G-D-E-F-Y. What is G-Defy? G-Defy is the footwear designed by Gravity Defier Medical Technology with the worldwide patented VersoShock sole. Their shoes are clinically shown to relieve pain by a double-blind clinical study conducted by Oliveview UCLA Medical Center. You can try a pair for 30 days with free corrective fit orthotic inserts. If you're not satisfied, just return the shoes for a full refund and keep the free orthotics as a gift. Put an end to suffering. Save $20 and get free shipping from Gravity Defier when you go to gdefy.com/radio and use code radio. That's gdefy.com/radio, code radio. You have nothing to lose but your pain.
Join us this weekend for the Golden Meadow Fouchon Tarpon Rodeo. Tune in as we broadcast the results live from the leaderboard this Saturday, July 3rd from 2 to 5 p.m. That's the Golden Meadow Fouchon Tarpon Rodeo, July 1st through the 3rd. Our rodeo broadcast is brought to you in part by Ashley Barrios, State Farm Agent, Golden Motors, Total Urgent Care, and Neil Small Engines.
Can we talk?
Talk sport.
Real sport.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, so that's Michael Thomas, 800-998-1003. Second hour on the Tuesdays from here on out, we'll be focusing on a position group with the Saints. Just kind of look at certain things. Maddie, we touched on Michael Thomas. Our overviews on this position group here as well. Tre'Quan Smith would probably be next, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do like that you saw last year, as you mentioned, the guy made some big catches. I thought that Detroit game maybe kind of turned the page in terms of Drew trusting him more than anything else. And again, which is why I like to see these videos, Matty, he's the one that I've seen work the most.
And he was also hurt last year on the low.
Right.
So
seeing him work with Jameis, seeing Jameis literally grabbing him, moving him this way, this is where I want you to. I think he's positioned to be the guy because he's been in this offense enough. And he's working the most with the potential starting quarterback to maybe have that quote unquote breakout year.
Yeah. I mean, we say year one, year three, just because that's like the, you know, the Saints draft evaluation process, but there is no set formula for like when a player finally meshes. And if it, you know, takes an extra year, this is the year of all years that it's kind of essential because there needs to be someone to step up. But the person that I would quite frankly throw third into the mix is Kwon Baker. I think that
you're convinced by him.
I want to look more into his tape, but Ross Jackson has done much more thorough looks into this and is very high on him, and I'm willing to trust his judgment on that. But when Sean came out in the press conference and right off the bat said that they're looking, you know, to use him in a much bigger role than just lining up at the slot in college, like it seems like there's a legitimate vision for him. And I, you know, we hear about the Terrence Marshall thing falling through and everything like that. But Michael Thomas is really the only player in recent years that the Saints have drafted early in terms of wide receivers. Sean's always been known for being able to find diamonds in the wide receiver rough. And I know a lot of that comes from Drew, but just the way that they've kind of talked about Kwon Baker and what he was kind of able to do in a very, like, underperforming offense, I think that there's as much potential with him as there is with people like Juwan Johnson, Marquez Callaway, and little Jordan Humphrey, who barely have any experience under
their
belt.
It's interesting you say that. Amy Just, we had her on. We had everybody that covered the Saints on right after the draft to give their takes on it. And she said of the rookie class, she's like, don't be surprised, Kwon Baker is the guy that we're talking about at all or the most. And so she was one of the first people that day, and we had her the day after the draft. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that. I just like, again, I just go by my ears and my eyes a lot of times. It's a gut feeling being a sideline reporter for as long as I have and just doing talk shows and stuff. But Marquez Callaway seems the part to me. And he sounds the part to me.
I agree.
When he was available 2 weeks ago, or no, it was longer than that, about a month ago now, 3 weeks ago.
A month, maybe.
There was just, I don't, just the way, I mean, he opened up the comments by joking and saying, you get what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you can tell there's certain guys that, I gotta make the team, there's pressure and all that. Like, Taysom Hill sounded like, my goodness, I've got to learn to play quarterback and the time is ticking and it's my chance. You know, and maybe I'm completely wrong with that. But Marquez Callaway seemed relaxed. He was joking. He seemed confident. He knew tidbits on each player. He was specific on things that he did and needed to improve on. And so much of growth, Maddie, is understanding what specifically you do. I can say I want to be a better talk show host. What specifically do I need to work on to be a better talk show host? And I don't know. I just, when I hear him and I see him, the size, the route running.
I was going to bring out the size.
Doesn't drop the ball. It just, again, he seems the part.
We joke that there was like the joke about him being the ghost of Marcus Colston reincarnated because he's wearing number 12, but they have the same build where it's almost like they could be a tight end if they beefed up a little bit more. And like, I think your point about that, and it's kind of like his ability to like read and diagnose his own, you know, types of things, but you have to have very high football intelligence to like immediately be making an impact in game four when the receiving corp was down to nothing. And he really stepped up in that game. And I wish that he'd gotten another year with Drew, but I don't think that he's someone that needs as much of a learning curve as other people. I just think that the sample size is small, but there was nothing that I saw that would be a red flag or anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas you had, you know, people, I'm not going to bring him up again, I will. But, you know, Jared Cook was on the team for 2 years and running the route so poorly that, you know, get flagged for intentional grounding. And then you had Marquez Callaway kind of getting the route down by week four. So,
look, here's the thing it's crazy because you said small sample size. 27 targets, caught 21 of them. 213 yards, 0 TDs, long of 27, but he averaged 10 yards a catch. And again, it's what those opportunities were going to be, but some of those catches were for first downs,
yes,
seemed to kind of get the offense kind of going, things of that nature. So yeah, it is a small sample size, but that's my point. In 21 receptions, mm-hmm, I have not only on this show, but gone on others and said, man, I think that guy's an NFL receiver, not a, you know, hey, a practice squad guy that, you know, it's nice. He gets an opportunity to play this Sunday, but you're like, we're talking about who's or who will be this receiving core this year. It's got to be more than one. You better have more than one. So I legitimately think that guy can play in this league. I do. I think Traquan is kind of ready to show that. It's an unproven bunch, but again, maybe that's why, Maddie, and it's not just me, this team really didn't go out there and go spend big money on free agency. Not that you could, but, you know, Kwon was literally the last round. So it's not like they went to go get a big-time receiver.
Well, the last couple years were that last push for Drew, and now this is kind of a wait-and-see thing because also, you know, the next quarterback is going to have different strengths than Drew does, and that can dictate how, you know, the receiving core may or may not mesh. So I understand kind of giving it some time to wait and see, but I think you bring up a good point because a lot of people are very high on Adam Trautman, and I'm, you know, more than willing to give him a chance.
Yeah.
But if you compare, you know, Marquez Callaway to him, he was 15 of 16 targets, sure, but from what you were saying, I agree. I like remember that those were a lot of critical moments on first down, on third down, and Drew looking to him and trusting him in game four. And so, yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I'm with you that the chips are all there. It's just, it's unproven, but the Saints kind of tend to do their best when they have a chip on their shoulder, they're unproven, and people are kind of counting them out. It's when people view them as the top dogs that they seem to trip over their own feet and eat the cheese.
And I know we always say this a lot, especially me. I always say, well, Saints need to get their next Lance Moore. Well, I think they have a very good potential of finding their next, like, Lance Moore, Marcus Colston, Robert Meacham, and Devery Henderson, because if you look back to those years, it's almost like, I mean, did you know a lot about other outside of the Saints and the fan base? How many players knew players outside of
undrafted
Marcus Coles?
Yeah. Lance Moore, right. Robert Meacham was like a seventh rounder.
And I think to a point that I want to go back to, you said in the opening of this hour, one of the things that again we overlook. And look, I do think by the time the man stands up there in the podium, and guess what, we'll probably all be there. Right? We're all going to try to get the cannon to watch the speech. And I think we're going to view it a little bit differently. I think people right now view the last two seasons, the pick, the lack of winning, the arm strength. Let's not forget what Drew did here. Like, let's not forget what Drew did here.
Saved a franchise.
Drew, to your point, was so bleeping accurate and so good at what he did. Getting the team in and out of the huddle. Getting them lined up properly. I know this sounds very simple, but I'm telling you, it's not.
And he did it with players that no one knew about.
And the extra work that he did that we just seemed to just
take for granted.
Not just that. It was like, oh, come on. You know, like it's hot. It's 105 degrees after training camp practice. Why are we waiting for 45 minutes for Drew? But the dude played for 30 to 45 minutes with those guys. The quarterback changed. He always, whenever he was on a football field, was trying to not only get himself better, but his receiving corps better. And the other coaches, or the other players.
His best trait was elevating everyone else around him.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that you're going to miss. That guy took average offensive linemen and turned them into top contracts for those guys. He took a Marcus Colston, a Lance Moore, and made them key members of the team because he understood. Maybe Lance isn't my guy to throw deep, but on third and short or full yards, I know Lance is going to get open for me, and I know where to put the ball and where he's going to go get it.
He was also the guy to go deep, though.
Yeah, I hear you. But my point, though, is he specifically knew where to go with those guys and what was best for this offense to use.
Think of that two-point conversion in the Super Bowl where Lance Moore literally was upside down, like, they were always on the same page.
When you look at it, that ball is not but like a foot off the ground. I mean, it's literally thrown where it's going to be an incompletion darn near, and Lance snatches it out of the ground. And that's why I keep referring to this as a potential playoff team and why you just got to give it time and be patient.
Well, it's also credit to Peyton as much as it is to Breeze as well. Because...
absolutely. Well, Curtis Johnson. Don't look.
Yes.
Curtis Johnson's development of these younger guys. Again, there's a
Lance
reason.
Lance Moore is like Curtis Johnson was a huge part in his
development. There's a reason Marquez Callaway could be depended on last year. I mean, yeah, he's got talent, but Curtis is on these guys all the time, and he develops these receivers. Traquan, the confidence, all that. There is a reason, to your point, if Quan Baker has these sort of skills a year under Curtis Johnson, you're going to see the guy grow. Curtis Johnson, to me, I'm telling you, is magnificent at what he does.
This is why I never understood the take that the Saints should draft a wide receiver in the first round. And I never feel that way. But seriously, if you look at the players over the years who have made the most impact on the team, past Michael Thomas, mm-hmm. Brandon Cooks is the only other big name that they took. And then he ran himself out of Dodge. But Jimmy Graham, like Marcus Colston, Robert Meacham, Lance Moore, pretty much everyone on the team right now, Kenny Stills, it's just a laundry list of these kind of mid-round guys, but the same, again, they
made it work.
Yeah, Jeff Ireland, that draft department, they have some formula that seems to work. It's just sometimes I think, again, we have to remember that some of these visions aren't an instantaneous type thing, mm-hmm. and it's very easier said than done to be like patient about that when you're, you know, watching your team kind of, do that. But if this can all come together this year, then Jeff Ireland is the GOAT. Right.
So we kind of touch on a lot of these different receivers, but let's wrap up this segment on this. Should Deontay Harris be more involved in the passing game, or do you want him to be your special teams guy with an occasional, hey, this is a play for you in the passing game? You shook your head immediately.
No, I think he needs to be, because I think he has the potential, like I said earlier.
What does
that
mean, and who is he taking the snaps from?
I think he could, I mean, just basically anyone outside of
Traquan Smith. Yeah. He's the deep threat along, like, you put them both out on the field. Like, they can really use these guys off of each other when they kind of have complementary skill sets. But that's what I was saying before. Like, I understand, like, the special teams has value, but the Saints are also very good at developing players on special teams. Mm-hmm. And if you had to ask me of where Deontay Harris, if the critical importance lies, this year, without Drew, to me, it lies as him as a wide receiver.
I don't disagree with you, because I'm another team playing the Saints. Why would I ever punt to him?
Exactly.
I'm coughing, kicking, I'm kicking it out of bounds.
Like, what? Lack speed at the wide receiver position.
100%. Yeah. But you're going to have to use him in different areas. And you can
immediate acceleration. Like, that was the thing. Like, and that was really the plan in the Buccaneers game until he got a stinger and went out in the first quarter. But that was exactly it.
That's the only thing that concerns me, is he's had two neck injuries like that. And you gotta
but stingers are stingers. Trey Hendrickson had a stinger last year. They can happen. But and there are those things that can happen super randomly. But but also, you know, that's kind of the risk that you run with these smaller guys.
All right, let me ask you this. We'll take a quick break. We come back in this final segment again. Every Tuesday, second hour, kind of take a position group, and y'all can listen in. Y'all can chime in. Feel free to do so. 800-981-0003. With the group of guys we just touched on, I mean, this is going to be the group that's going to be going into camp, right, for the most part, like the top guys. You might see a player or two otherwise. Who's the best quarterback for them for that? I mean, does that go into your decision as a coach here as well? You touched on accuracy with Drew. I touched on seeing Jameis working hand and, you know, already with Traquan and showing some stuff. So let's kind of delve into that aspect of it too, and looking at both of those quarterbacks and their traits, and then which quarterback perhaps is best for this receiving group, and if that has any bearing as to who you decide to be the starting quarterback. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
I have something to say on that.
Oh yeah, where else can you go and you just feel like this is the place I need to buy my new vehicle? Golden Motors, your Chevy, Buick, and nearly new pre-owned in any make or model dealership. For 65 plus years, we've been serving Lafourche, Terrebonne, and surrounding parishes. We want you to be satisfied, and that's why process priority is our slogan. Golden Motors is like no other dealership. We take pride in doing everything we can to help our customers. Definitely worth the drive down to Golden Motors. Visit us 24 hours a day at goldenmotors.com or call us at 985-325-1000. Chevy, find new roads.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today to find out for yourself with just one bite, with flavors like Oreo, cookie dough, and more. DQ, happy tastes good.
Drive-by birthday parties, virtual weddings. In a world full of things you never thought possible, here's one more. Now you can get Allstate's quality insurance at an affordable rate. When you bundle your home and auto, you'll save up to 25%. With Allstate, you can lower your rates, not your expectations. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company, and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You're gearing up to get back out on the field, so you ordered ballgame essentials like a new glove, cleats, and a jumbo pack of sunflower seeds. And you used your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping, which could increase to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member. Rewards that you put toward the cost of an essential piece of your post-game recovery. A heating pad. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
What would you say
you do here?
Sports.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Getting pumped up, Maddie, over the Ukraine for their upcoming game coming up earlier. England, Germany. Maddie, the final score there?
2-0. Sterling and Harry Kane, first goal in a championship for Kane.
Jordan, yesterday was incredible watching some of these games here while we were doing the show. Spain, almost lost. Wound up winning.
Own goal.
Own goal is, man, there. Rough.
Yeah. And the one after that was pretty good too, right?
That was like the most chaotic beauty I have ever watched in my entire life. Yeah. It was Switzerland, France. I mean, they knocked out the defending champs in a like down to the wire PK shootout after like ending in 3-3 with five goals scored and a half that were actually legitimate good goals. Can't ask for more in a game.
It's pretty. It was pretty fun to watch. All right, so Jordan, Maddie, asking you guys here, and Maddie, you can start with. Does any of these quarterbacks in Hill and Winston have, say, a particular skill set or trait that you think would help in a position group that we all, I think, agree has potential, but we also agree is a bit unproven, other than Michael Thomas, in their first go-around without a Hall of Fame quarterback? So,
well, it's not their first go with without a Hall of Fame quarterback. I know there were many stretches, but Sean Payton is one of the best, if not the best, at tailoring an offense to a quarterback's strength. And it just reminded me of a conversation that Ross Jackson had on Locked On Saints with JT O'Sullivan, a former Saints quarterback who apparently has a PhD in leadership studies that I just learned. Okay. He said it well. The playbook is basically like a Cheesecake Factory menu. There's so much on there, and it's really...
There really is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's hundreds of plays right. that receivers can run. It's just that you emphasize the routes that are tailored to the quarterback's strengths. But I think that we might overemphasize the importance of, like, receivers fitting with people on... Or quarterbacks, I think it's more of a question of scheme fit, and that's something that I think can be solved by coaching and just knowing where players have their strengths and how to play them.
Okay. Jordan, do you think there's a quarterback per se? I guess what I'm getting at, let's say Taysom Hill. I'll apply it this way to you. Taysom Hill is your starting quarterback for your New Orleans Saints.
I don't think he's he's the best fit for your
wide
receiver.
What I'm saying is, if he is your starter, how does that affect your receiving group?
Makes Adam Trautman a lot more of a picture because they had one of the better chemistry connections
right?
in their
Something
start.
Quick over the middle that I can sort of see and I don't have to read as much coverage. That makes a lot of sense. Give me another thing.
I just think that.
Like, what does he bring?
What does he bring? I think he takes away because he kind of runs the ball a little bit more.
Okay, but Tre'Quan Smith is a good run blocker, right? So a guy like him, you know, that. But to the point, he's going to probably be blocking more.
Yeah, he could also bomb it to Deontay Harris.
He can because he has the arm. We've seen.
And I know that Sanders' pass was horrible, but I will go back to the fact that, like, if you look back on that, he was getting cut off at the legs and was, like, mid-hit when he threw that. Mm-hmm. Ball. It's just that no, everyone wants to write Taysom Hill off, in my opinion. So right. like, no one really goes back to like diagnose those types of things. But I don't see any reason why. Like again, you know,
okay.
Teddy Bridgewater set in. They had the playbook that tailored to his strengths. They relied a lot more on Alvin Kamara. A lot of people point to like Taysom Hill not really having a connection with Alvin Kamara, but that's something that I don't think is a vision you can really implement in four games. But I think that there's a lot of ways that you can play a mobile quarterback off of some of the dynamic offensive players on this team when you have a receiving threat that's also a running back like Alvin Kamara, and then you have a guy that can line up under center and run. It gives a lot of options in terms of opening up this offense in a different way that might not be as exciting in a deep ball threat that we all want to see from Jameis Winston, but I think the potential's there.
General D, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's actually refreshing not to talk Pelicans today, but I will talk about the controversy, or I think I don't see it as a controversy at all. I think it's a foregone conclusion that Jameis Winston is our quarterback. I don't think there is a controversy at all. Taysom Hill, I mean, he does well for his role, and I think by having him in his role, that'll keep some defenses off balance. If we're touching back on the receiving core, you know, the Deontay Harris situation, I mean, he's 5'6". I think you can put him in there in spurts, but if you're looking at him to be your go-to guy down the field or even in and out of breaks, I saw it okay in clips, but I don't see that as a guy that's going to be your number two that's going to step up and be somebody that you're really going to be counting on opposite of Michael Thomas. I think that guy needs to be Traquan or one of these other receivers, Callaway or whoever it may be that steps into that role. And as for the Adam Trautman thing, I think Trautman is a guy that has to take the biggest steps from where he was last year. If you look at Jameis Winston's past, he's a guy that throws to the tight end exclusively, especially down in the red zone area. Hopefully that becomes more with connection with Michael Thomas, but from my understanding, I don't know that he and Michael Thomas has been really working well together or have worked together yet this season, this off season. And then the point that y'all talked about before about somebody needing to step up to be a leader, I don't see that at all being Michael Thomas. I just hope Michael Thomas gets his head on straight and is able to go out there and be the person he was 2 years ago. And as for back to the Jameis Winston thing, the talent level is off the charts. It's been about him being able to slow down, read the defense, and cut down on his mistakes. His tools are unmatched. He was the first overall pick, and he's been able to put 5,000 yards passing. So the argument to say, oh, well, you know, let's see what Taysom does. He's a young quarterback. Yeah, look, he was never at the level that Jameis was, and Jameis just needs to take that next step, and hopefully Sean Payton can get the most out of him. That's my take, but, I mean, you know, I respect y'all's opinion, but if it's a controversy, we have a serious problem. And the win totals of what we're talking about is going to go down tremendously. Thank you.
Thank you, Channel. Do you appreciate the phone call?
I mean, there's credence to that, and I think I know I'm the blaring minority of, like, giving Taysom Hill a chance here, but I just feel like the interceptions we conveniently keep forgetting about. And if that's something that can't be corralled, and I see that in their work where they're doing those out routes and not the curls, because those were the routes that he was running with Michael Thomas in the 49ers game where he missed linebackers running across the field multiple times. So I think there are ways to limit that as well, but I don't know. I kind of feel bad for Taysom sometimes, for lack of a better term. Like, he's kind of been put in this role, like, just because he wanted to
you
be a team
bad for Taysom Hill.
You know I'm going to go with this, right?
How much money?
You know how much money?
Don't
look at it just like that. No,
I mean, I don't care about money, but it's this idea that, like, he's basically a laughing stock at quarterback, and there have been people that have had much worse four game runs than he
Maddie,
had.
Maddie, do you want me to wait until we wrap up the hour to bring up a certain game, or do you want me just to go ahead and do it now?
Do you want me to buy you a Kendall Hinton jersey just to commemorate the occasion?
I'm just saying. I mean, if you would, because everything you just said, I agree with, which is why it was an absolute travesty what he did to him in Denver.
I agree, but I think last season was just, it was such a weird season in so many ways. The vibe was just off, for lack of a better term, like all across the board. Like, it wasn't fun. It was just like,
I have one vote by somebody, by the way, to say yes, bring up the Broncos.
Of course. It's probably your burner account.
Okay, but here's my point. If that guy goes out there, I'm not even saying throws 400 yards, but wins the game in a tough situation with that defense on the road, you know, you see him air it out a bit, and looks like, hey, yes, you can sort of see that. Like, I'll give an example of another game. The end of the Philly game. The end of the Philly game, they moved right down the field.
I was just
going to
say, people really criticized him for that Eagles game, but what I saw in that game was his ability to come back from adversity.
But Maddie, what was the difference there? That was a, well, we have no choice. You have to do it, which is why I say I think Sean hindered him, to your point. Kind of maybe put him in a spot where you are going to doubt him. And if we have, or other fans, the locker room is going to sit there.
What if that was the point?
Ooh. Hour two, just like that, is in the books. When we come back,
time.
Hour three, more soccer, perhaps. It's about to get started here. And you know what? I know General D said we can't talk about the Pelicans, but we can't touch on last night. The Paul George narrative.